been in a study now for some that haven't been here. We've been in a study of studying the abundant life, what it would mean like and what it would look like if the Lord was involved in our life to the point of living the life that He intended for us. And then the first question I have for you, and it's kind of been the study for the last several weeks now, is, you know, how do we define abundant? And then would that be the same definition that God gives for abundant life, the life that God intends for us to live, the life that, is full, what the Bible calls to the fullest. And then we've been looking at, for several weeks, we've been looking at prayer. Active part of living an abundant life would be in a relationship with the Lord, opening up to prayer. We looked at the danger of procrastination. We know that a lot of times we're going to get to it, and we're going to be in church more. We're going to pray more. We're going to do more for those that we're around. All of those dangers of procrastination. And then we looked at allowing your past to identify you instead of what Christ is doing in your life. Letting those hurts that are behind you just continue to beat you up. We've looked at fear. Anybody that says they haven't dealt with some fears in their life, you know, I'll just give you time, because it's just a matter of time. Being obsessed with material things, all of these things, looking at, because in our search for abundant life, these are the things that either go to the wayside, or these are things that take place, you know, your obsession with material things. But I want to say to you, as I end this series on the abundant life, there by far, today is the most important, as we look at the Holy Spirit working in our lives, leading us, guiding us, directing us, empowering us to live the life that God intends for us to live. Because in our own strength, we can do a lot of things, but we will always fall short of what God wants to accomplish in our lives if we don't allow God to be in it. So you should be there by now. John chapter 14, starting at verse 15 and reading over to verse 29. Words of Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. Those words you hear are not my own, but they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I was with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You have heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you these things before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Father, we just take a moment as we look into your word, as we search our hearts for the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We ask, Lord God, that we would be open to receive what you have for us, that each one of us would be able to apply a nugget of truth and allow the Spirit of Truth to minister to us in a special way. We are just going to give you honor and praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, if you look in Acts chapter 1, we won't go there, but if you went to Acts chapter 1, you can see that Jesus, just before he's ready to ascend to the Father, says these words to the disciples that were gathered around. He says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then here's the thing that I want you to grab onto this morning. Jesus says and promises for all the believers that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, that this power of the Holy Spirit will fall fresh on you, the power of the Holy Spirit will fill you, and all of these things so that you could become witnesses to all that you come in contact with. See, so we all don't have to be missionaries, we all don't have to be pastors, we all don't have to be, per se, the leaders of the church, but we're all called to allow the Holy Spirit work in our lives so that we can go to our own Jerusalem, our own Samarias, to our own mission fields where God has called us. And a lot of times we miss that because we look for this special calling. We're waiting for this drop from the sky direction. You must go to the uttermost parts of the world. So we're all waiting for this call to Africa or Ethiopia or some other area of the world. And then when it doesn't happen, we think, well, that must have been for somebody else. But Jesus is saying that each one of us, if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit work in our lives, is we're going to be in the mission field that God calls us to. So in Acts chapter 2, 120 people are gathered. Now I want you to get this because this is the jump off board of where I'm going this morning. 120 of them are gathered in one place, in one accord, in one purpose, seeking more of God. See, a lot of times we race through that. That's a familiar verse. We race through that when we read our Bibles and we forget that here were believers. They weren't waiting to find out if they weren't deciding if they were going to be Christian. They weren't deciding if they were going to, you know, follow Jesus. They were 120 believers that got together in one accord, in one purpose, you know, in desiring more of God. And I hope that's you this morning. And then you find out, as we read that verse, it ends with, "And they were filled with the Spirit of God." And then Jesus, because they don't understand all that was going on, looks at them and tries to get them going and understanding. It says, "I've got to go. I've got to go so the Holy Spirit can come and so the Holy Spirit can minister to you and the Holy Spirit can touch and minister to your life." And I want you to know that really is abundant life. So no matter what you're looking for or how you're trying to find it, the abundant life is really going to be seeking more of God and God showing up. That would be a good place to say amen. It's having more of the Lord and allowing Him to do what He needs to do in your life. So here, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you define it, no matter what you're going through, that really will be abundant life for you. And until we understand that, we're going to struggle. Until we understand it, then we're going to be looking to some circumstances and situations. You know, until we live the life that God intends for us, empowered by the Holy Spirit to allow us to do that, we're going to run into problems. Some of the things, if you read through chapter 1 and 2 of Acts, you see that in the midst of all of this, here are some of the sayings that they said. Some were saying amazing. Some were paraphrasing, and I say, oh my. Some are saying, you know, they're perplexed, and some are asking, what just happened here? What does this mean? And I want you to know something. Each and every one of us this morning falls into one of them categories. Whether you're going to admit it or not, whether you even know it yourself, you're going to fall in one of these categories when it comes to the things of God and God wanting to do something in your life. You're going to end up saying, that's amazing. Or you know, that's the extreme. That's amazing. And you're seeking God for more. Or you're at the other end of the spectrum and you're like, what just happened here? I don't understand what's going on. And God's Word tells us that it's His desire that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life, and all should have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something. I want to just kick this off, because so many times the world wants to just make everything gray, and I've said that numerous times. We actually been talking about it a little bit in Bible study and stuff. You know, I used to be all black or all white. You know, there was no gray areas. But I find the longer I preach, the more I talk to people, there's gray areas because of things and life situations that people go through. So here he says that, you know, it's his desire that none perish. All should have eternal life. All should come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the longer I'm a pastor, here's the thing that I find out. We have a choice. We have a choice. What you have a choice of whether you're going to allow God to draw you close to Him, or you're going to have a choice of rejection. And that's where the world really struggling right now. Because they're trying to stay on the fence. They're trying to have just enough of God that, you know, they can be religious, or they're just trying to have enough of God so somebody doesn't know really what's going on in their heart. And God won't let you be on the fence. God won't let you be on the fence. He's going to make you commit one way or another of where you're at. So he tells us that we have this choice to either allow God to draw us close by the Spirit of God working in our lives, or we can reject Him. But then here's the good thing. Hang on, I'm not doom and gloom this morning. Here's the good thing. For the believers, here's a good place to say amen. I'll tell you right out now. Here's a good place to say amen. For the believers, he's telling us that those that seek Him and want more, that He will empower them with the Holy Spirit of God. He will allow them to have victory. He will allow them to do more than they could ever think that they could accomplish in their own lives. And tells us, if you really want abundant life, just keep your face towards me and I will get you there. I will help you to get there. See, accepting Jesus Christ is a choice. But it's not the last choice. It's only a starting point. He desires that all should come to a saving knowledge of Him, that none should perish, and they all should come to a knowledge and witness of Jesus Christ. But He doesn't leave us there. That's the good thing. He doesn't leave us there. He tells us that the believers, that if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, there's something more He desires. There's something more that He wants to do in our lives. And that, folks, is also a choice for each and every one of us. See, here's the thing. There is a lot of Christians running around in their own power, and they're getting beat up. I think the majority of the church today, in America especially, is running around and being beat up and don't understand that God's saying, if you would just turn your face towards me, if you would just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives, that you're going to see this tremendous turnaround. And some of the things that we're seeing in the church today, in ours, is I believe because God is doing tremendous work, amazing work in individual lives as well as in the corporate part of the church. And a lot of believers, and I believe this with all my heart, and this may be you this morning, and God has a message for you. I think there's so many people living between the two. They're living between the point that God saves them, and they have enough relationship with God that they stand on the promises of God. They're on their way to heaven, but they fall somewhere in between that empowerment and allowing God to do these tremendous things in our lives. And by living right there, we miss out what God intends for us. Because there's so much more that God intends. You know, the believers gathered at Pentecost. Did you get that? The believers gathered at Pentecost seeking more and wanting the fullness of God. See, the unbelievers, they were on the outside. They were the ones in the crowd going, what just happened here? Look at those nuts over there in that room. What's going on? They're hooting and hollering and they're having a good time and what's going on there? They were the ones that stand there and they were perplexed. They were the ones that weren't understanding. They were seeing with their own eyes, not understanding what God wants to do. They were the ones going, oh my. Oh my. Being religious and standing, oh my.
They're actually getting excited for the Lord.
They're actually talking to one another. They're actually going to someone else and testimoning on how good God is. But they were the believers that were seeking God, wanting more of God, and not afraid. Now get this. Not afraid to surrender what God was wanting to do in their lives. The only ones that are going to go, "That's amazing," are the guys that and gals that get in. They're the only ones that are going to understand how amazing it is. It's like I said a couple weeks ago. You know, people that want to downplay what God is doing in people's lives. It's only because they don't allow God into their life and they don't understand. They haven't experienced what God is desiring to do. See, I can understand that unbelievers don't have the power of God working in their life. But what I struggle with is, why don't believers have more of the power of God working in their life? Why don't we understand that God wants to do these tremendous things in our lives and He's not done with us? How many know, and I've said this a million times too, we're all on a journey. We're all at different levels. Why do we keep looking at the journey where somebody else is? Why aren't we keeping our eyes fixed on what the Lord wants to do in our lives and then be a witness to somebody that we can help, that we see on the path? Why is there so many wounded Christians on the journey home? We leave them in a bloodbath instead of helping and bringing them along. I can understand unbelievers having that kind of a thought process, but I struggle with believers. The promise of God is this, that for all those that believe, He wants to do something amazing. He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Anybody besides me been down in the ditch and the only thing that you can hold on to is something that God said to you? And I feel sorry for those that don't have those moments. Those moments where God says, "I'm going to be with you," and you actually believe it. "I'm going to strengthen you," and you actually believe it.
Amen.
For all of those times, God says, "I will remind you of the things that I've shown you." Precious times. Believers that want more of God are not going to be satisfied until they receive what God has for them. The Word of God says this, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." And then He says, "the Spirit of Truth." And it says that He comes in our lives to help purify our life. Here's the thing. Some of us struggle with God because we don't necessarily want God to purify some of the things going on in our lives. And until we're willing to allow God to do that, it's going to be a struggle. But He says, the Spirit of Truth comes and says, "I'm going to be helping you. I'm desiring to help you live a purified life. I'm going to help you be more the image of Christ. I'm going to help you accomplish the things that you can't accomplish in your own." And as long as you're trying to do it in your own, you're going to struggle. You're going to have these moments. Quitting smoking 40 times. All the other struggles that come on in people's lives. All the things because we're trying to do it in our own instead of turning it over to the Lord. And it's not only physical. We could add gossip. We could add all kinds of things. Of things that God wants to do in our life to make us more like the image of Christ and separate us more from the world. But we got to understand this. It's supernatural. Can I say that again? It's supernatural. It's not man-made. You can't man-make the Spirit of God moving in somebody's life. The same as I've been a pastor for a long time, I cannot save anyone. Amen. God does it. God works in our life. We're all at different journeys. I can't take somebody at one point of the journey and just bring them immaculately, quickly up in front of the line. God has to move people in that journey. And as we do that, we understand that it's supernatural. It's God doing these things in our lives. And it's when we struggle, and we have these struggles in our life, it's being honest with God and say, "I need help. I need help." It's stopping. It's not worrying about what other people are thinking, what they see, what appearance does it. It's stopping in our struggles and saying, "You know what, God? I need help." The word says, and ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And I want you to know something. What does that look like today? Because anytime if you went to Bible school at all, or if you had any other teachings that I've been giving you, that you always ask the who, what, where, or why. That anytime you look at a scripture, that should be to really, if you're trying to digest it, you know, who, what, where, and why. Why, what's going on here? So if I look at this portion of scripture, then you know, that's the three things that I need answered today, and that's the three things that we need answered in our lives. You know, what happened then? Why did it happen? And can it happen again? That's what I want to do. Isn't that true? You want to figure out what happened here? What was so special? What does God promise for us? And can I have it? That's the things that we need to be asking. That's the questions. What happened is believers got saved. God empowered them. He allowed them to have the Spirit of God, and they were seeking the face of God, and God showed up. God won't let you down. If you're seeking God, you'll find Him. If you're looking for answers, you're going to get them. It's when we start running from God that we begin to have these problems. Why it happened? The only way I can read this scripture and understand why it happened is that God tells us that we can't do this on our own. We can't do it in our own power. We can't beat the devil at temptation. We can't beat the devil in trying to get things in and out of our lives. And the power of Pentecost was for people then and now. Amen. That's a good place to say amen to. We look at Pentecost and it's not just a good story. It's not just what happened to the 120 back in the upper room where Jesus is wanting the Spirit of God to fall. Pentecost is for each and every one of us right now. God desires for us to actively be working in our lives. The Holy Spirit, we can't live without God. We can't do these things that God intends for us. And can it happen? Absolutely it can happen. Revival only starts one way. We can't just say, let's go have revival. Revival has to start in here. Each one of us. Starts in each one of us. It's the old illustration. I said, I'm going to draw a circle around here and let the revival start right here. And that's what has to happen. It has to be each and every one of us. And together then we go out and then we begin to see God do these mighty things. God's word says He's not a respecter of person, and desires above all that each one of us would fully live our lives that God intended for each and every one of us. Now here, hear me. Grab this, write this down. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God.
Amen.
Did you get that? God loves it. When we say, God, this is bigger than me, would you get involved? Rich taught Sunday school this morning, and we were moving right in that direction about some of the things about that God's looking for patience. We never pray for patience because we're afraid God might show up. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. He loves it when we ask Him to get involved in things that are bigger than us. When we admit to Him that it's not possible to handle this without Him. I've been accused of being out of the box. But if we can do it ourselves, God's not in it. I want something going on that's bigger than us. I want God looking at it and saying, wow, there's the answer. To a powerless generation, I can do something through them because they want God to work in their lives. They're willing, you know, to do something that's far above. Measuring up that God gets the glory. That they're not going to be defeated, but they're going to live up to their God-given potential. See, I love that scripture, and we talked about it several times in this series. A new age is born. God's alive and well, and He wants to work within our lives, empowering us to do greater things, the Word of God says, than He did while He was here. Greater is He that's in you than in the world.
Amen.
Yet that we live a defeated life. Yet we live below what was going on then. I want you to know something. Only God's power can heal a broken heart.
Amen.
Truth. You can sugarcoat it. You can say it any way you want. Only God can heal a broken heart. Only God can give a life back. Only God can empower someone to do far above what they are able to do in themselves. Don't believe me? Peter standing in town and beggars coming by. And Peter going up to them and say, "Silver and gold have I not, but in the power of Jesus Christ."
Yes. Amen.
He told him to get up.
Amen.
That's amazing. Money I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That's what God desires to do. That ought to get a hoo-ah, that ought to get an amen, that ought to, you know, just get your feet a stomping. If you're not one to make any emotions, you know, that ought to just get a slow amen somewhere out of there. But that's what we should be looking for. God doing above what we can do in ourselves. And having enough boldness that when God says, "Go talk to silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I'll give you what I have." And that's the Spirit of God to make changes in our lives. The old is gone, the new has come. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
People treat the Holy Spirit as an it. I hear it all the time. It. It's a He. And it's a part of the Trinity. And it's a part of God wanting to minister. It can be a possession. But I'm telling you, when He possesses you, you're going to see some amazing things go on in your life. Paul tells us, he says, "I come to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling, not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, so that your faith not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's where we're going to see people healed. That's where we're going to see lives change. That's where we're going to see churches grow. That's where we're going to see marriages healed. That's where we're going to see addictions broken in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. An American and an Englishman were standing by the Niagara Falls. And the American shows up and he says, "Come here, I want to show you the greatest unused power in the world." And taking him over to the foot of the Niagara Falls, he says, "There is the greatest unused power in the world." The other guy looks at him and says, "No. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit that wants to work in people's lives."
Amen.
That is the most unused power in the world. Winding down. If some of you know, winding down doesn't necessarily mean done. The saddest thing today is believers running around living defeated lives. That is the saddest thing when God desires and wants to intervene and empower us and we decide we can do it on our own. That is the saddest day for a lot of believers. God says, "Here it is. Seek my face. You can have it. It's a promise." And we, without saying it, because we're too spiritual to say it the way it really is, we say, "Thanks, but no thanks." And we keep trying to do it on our own. Listen, the call this morning is very simple. It's for us to live a life that God intends for us to live. And I want you to know something. It begins with obedience.
Amen.
It begins with obedience. Do what you know you need to do. And also, I've said this many times. God's crazy about you.
Yes, He is.
And once you grab on and understand how much God loves you and how crazy He is about you, He knows all about you and He still loves you. He's seen all that you do and what you think and He still loves you. And He desires for you to turn these things over to Him. Now, I can scare the hell out of you, or I can put fear of consequences in your life, but the greatest way that God's going to draw you to Himself is once you understand how much He loves you. And the rest of these things are going to come in line. See, the day of preaching the fire and brimstone, beating them up, is a day that worked a while ago. But let's be honest, our rebellion has gotten so bad, it doesn't bother us anymore. It doesn't bother us anymore. What we really need is to share the truth and allow people to understand how much God loves them. It calls them to obedience. The call of obedience says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He doesn't love us because we deserve it. He's just that crazy about us. And I'm thankful for that. When He says everlasting love, it's His arms reaching out to us, desiring for us to be drawn close to us, Him close to us. Now, take an unbeliever. What happens when an unbeliever surrenders his life to God? He gets saved. He begins to have a relationship with God. That's a starting point. That's fire insurance, if you want to put it that way. What happens when a believer surrenders all that he has to God? He is filled with the Spirit and empowered by God to do far more than he could ever do in himself. He's not going to live a defeated life, even though some things go on in their lives. Why in the world would you want to settle for anything less? Why would you want to be caught in the middle there when God says there is so much more that I want to do for you? See, God can do all of that in one step. I've seen that. Save you, fill you, send you on your way. You're called to ministry all in the same moment. But then over the years of watching, I see this. And sometimes it's a second encounter. God saves us. Desires for us to get mentored and be in a church or get around some people that are mature Christians. And then He says, I want more out of you.
Amen.
I desire more. If you seek my face, and then they begin to be filled. Then they begin to change their life. Then as the Nazarenes, we call it entire sanctification. Turning our lives over. Totally surrendering our lives over to Christ. Then He does these amazing things in our lives. Then He begins to equip us and give us that victory that we need in our lives. And I want you to know something. God's putting that invitation out for us this morning. God is putting that out. You cannot live a Spirit-filled life without a relationship with God. There is some places that you can cut shortcuts and go the shorter way, but you cannot. You must have a relationship with God. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. And I say, amen. I will come to you. And I'm glad God doesn't have any stepchildren. He treats us all like we're immediately blood-bought into the family of God. And I say, that's good stuff. My question to you this morning is, do you want that today? That's the question that you have to answer yourself. First things first. If you're sitting here this morning and you have no relationship with God, that's your first step. That's what you need to do today. Accept Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. For many, you know Jesus. You know Jesus, but you live a defeated life. And He tells us this morning that there's more. There's a deeper relationship that He wants. And He doesn't desire us to get beat up because of it. And for you this morning, you need to ask God, surrender all. And I know that's a church word. And everybody has different ideas what it means to surrender. And all that, I'm saying, be honest with God this morning. How about that? be honest with God and say, look, there's some skeletons in my life I need to get out. There's some things going on in my life that you need to work with, and I'm tired of being defeated, and I know there's more, and that's what I desire. I promise you that He will meet you where you're at this morning if we'll commit all of it to Him. See, the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just for salvation. It's also for transformation. Some of us need to be transformed. Some of us need that jump start. Some of us need to understand that we can't do all of this on our own. And I believe that the moment that our hearts are emptied of some of the things that hold us back, whether it be selfishness or pride or ambition that's out of whack, that if we would allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we're going to see Him doing amazing things.